Hello and welcome to Layup Lines. This is the Cardinal and Cream's sports podcast. I'm Caleb Lay, your host, and joining me is Nick Velasquez, Union basketball player. Real fast, this show, just to kind of explain, this is our first episode, and basically what this will be is me and Nick or other people related to the Union basketball team talking about Union's program in particular, some Gulf South Conference stuff, and, you know, maybe some other Division I college basketball or NBA basketball kind of sprinkled in there. But starting off, Nick, you guys just came off of two road games.
Yeah.
Guys just got back in last night. They didn't go so well.
No. We're in a little bit of a rut right now. I think we've lost four straight games now. Four or five. But, I mean, we're going through some stuff as a team, trying to figure out how to win. If we're down, trying to figure out how we can keep fighting and get ourselves back into the game. So the good thing is we still have a whole another half of conference left. So hopefully we have some time to turn it around before the conference tournament, but we definitely got to turn around pretty soon though.
Yeah. Talking about those games, I was watching the, who'd you guys play Saturday? That was
West Georgia.
That was West Georgia. You guys climbed back there in the second half.
Saturday
that was
West
Alabama.
Was West Alabama.
Yeah, so when you guys played West Alabama, you guys were down by like 13 at the half.
Yeah.
And you guys kind of came back. You looked really good until, you know, the last couple minutes or so.
But yeah.
What do you think it would take to kind of achieve that level of play where you're able to outscore teams by 10 points every half?
Well, that stretch, we actually had a certain group of guys in, and coach put us in a press back into a zone, and we just got really active in the press, started to turn the other team over and get some easy baskets, and I think that'll help with our half-court offense if we start to get more transition baskets and make the team turn over a little more, but it's up to Coach Niven, though, so we'll see how practice and stuff goes this week.
Yeah. So defense, effort.
Yeah.
But is that, and they've just been kind of pressing that into you guys constantly during practices, during all the meetings?
Yeah, no, he has been just like a hunger to compete, really, and just keep that passion throughout the game and take pride on the defensive end and just attack. And sometimes lately we've been getting leads at half and we'll give it away in the end. So really just trying to put our foot down and finish teams early.
Yeah. Kind of switching tones just because I hate talking about losses.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I think I wrote a column for Layup Lines after the two losses that were at home 2 weeks ago, and it was I was miserable. I don't know if I was more miserable than you guys, but like I remember like got in my car, drove off, and I was like, I need to get some food. I'm gonna go get something healthy, and then I wound up driving into Wendy's and getting like a Baconator, and I just ate it, and I was full of self-loathing and anger, and I wrote several very strongly worded columns about the game.
Was that Shorter and Lee?
Yeah, that was Shorter and Lee.
Two games that we were up and gave the lead away.
Yeah, the Lee game was even sadder for me because I just looked at them and I felt like some of those guys just weren't, not that they weren't Division II basketball players, but just not nearly as good as, you know, I think some of you guys are.
Yeah, no, we're a talented group, and coach tells us that every day, but we just got to put it all together, you know? We got to play as a team and get the best shots.
Yeah.
But we're still working on it. We're young, so it's, I mean, we're bound to have some growing pains, but to finish the season out, we gotta turn it up a notch.
Yeah, it's got to be tough when, I mean, coming into the season, only Ashanti and KC were, like, those were the only two guys who started last year. And Felipe played, like, he averaged like 10 to 15 minutes a game last year, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And those were the only three returners. You know, there was no one else.
Everybody else is new.
Yeah.
Or didn't play.
Yeah, Charlie didn't play last year. So it's just been interesting to watch because you guys are super talented.
Right, yeah.
Speaking of talent, we're recording this on a Sunday night, but this will probably go up on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And before then, I'll have published I did this last year where I compared Union basketball players to NBA basketball players based mostly on advanced metrics. It wasn't just an eyeball test. They had to meet certain requirements. You guys had to meet certain requirements mm-hmm. of those guys in terms of, and then I had to kind of balance it off of like, because I use player efficiency rating, your guys' rebound rate, your assist ratio, and your true shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. And true shooting uses your field goals, your 3 points, and your free throw percentage and kind of combines them. And that's helpful because there's guys like in the NBA, like DeAndre Jordan, who's shoots like 60% from the field, but shoots 40% from free throw. And it's like, well, he's not actually a good shooter.
Yeah.
because initially there was weird stuff like Charlie Wilson. If I used his exact numbers, he came out as like a small forward and mm-hmm. that just wasn't right. But I'm just going to go down. And I just want you to kind of tell me agree or disagree and kind of why. Just because I'm interested in your take, because you're, you know, an actual basketball player and I'm just a small, short writer.
Right. Understandable.
So I've got Jared Scott here. Jared's actually been your most efficient player this season. He's got a player efficiency rating of 26.33, which is like on the same level as like guys like LeBron James.
which I hope this comparison is not LeBron James.
It's not. It's not. Uh-huh. It might be. It might. Let's just. It's his comparison was Joel Embiid.
I think they have a little bit different games. I would say Jared's more on the perimeter, more Embiid's more of a back to the basket type player. But Embiid can step out, shoot the three. He'll face up in the post and shoot a jumper. But I mean that one's a little iffy.
Yeah.
That one's a little iffy.
Yeah. Embiid's also a much better defender.
yeah.
that's one thing. Not to diss Jared, but just
no.
Embiid averages like a block or two a game.
No, he's
yeah.
That guy's gonna be real good.
But. Then the next one was Charlie Wilson, and his was Karl-Anthony Towns.
I agree with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Cat is they're all NBA players, so they're all going to be more advanced than us.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess I can see the comparisons. Because Cat he's becoming a good player, and Charlie's a good player for us, too. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with that one.
Yeah. The next one was Trey Boyd, and he came out as Otto Porter Jr.
I feel like Trey likes the three a little more than Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah, it's definitely true.
But that one's give or take. That one's give or take.
Okay. Ashanti Day, it's not Paul Millsap, like I told you earlier.
That was last year, right?
Yeah, yeah, he was Paul Millsap for a little while there. This time it's Jabari Parker.
Jabari is he's an athletic freak, but, I can kind of see where that is, because they're both a little bit of bully ball, you know, kind of body you, got big, strong. Big, strong guys getting to the rack, so I agree with that one. Jabari didn't shoot the three a lot, neither does Ashanti, so.
Yeah, AD's been, he's been a lot more nervous to do that this season.
Yeah.
The next one is you. So for Nick Velasquez, I got Klay Thompson.
Ooh! Definitely agree with that one. Definitely agree with that one.
Explain.
Well, we definitely both like to shoot the ball, but I feel like there's more to our games than just shooting the ball and how we shoot the ball. Like people think Klay is just a standstill shooter, but he's coming off picks, off the dribble. He has a nice pull-up game, and he's definitely developing into one of the best players in the league. So I would like to see myself in that light, but I still have a long ways to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But I agree with it.
Yeah. Did you actually know, I don't know if you knew this, maybe you did, in the, like, through the first 16 games of the season, your first 8 games, you were shooting, like, 40% and then, like, 37%, I think 40 from the field and 37 from 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the next 8 games, you've been shooting, like, 49% from the field and, like, 51% from 3.
Yeah.
You've been on an incredible streak.
No, I honestly, I don't know what happened. It was just like a switch that flipped. I think it started in, it was, I don't really know what it was. Just getting in the gym, trying to stay in shape and get back to where I was. Because last year I shot like 49% and like 47 from 3.
Oh, wow.
So
that's when you were playing for who?
When I was at my junior college.
Bakersfield?
Yeah, in California.
Man.
So, yeah, definitely was a big letdown to me in the beginning of the season. So, just trying to help my team.
Yeah.
In the way that I know I can. And that just switch just happened. But last 2 games have been a little bit of a struggle, but just sticking with it, though.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I kind of noticed that was, that stood out to me maybe one of the largest things when I was looking at all these stats through the first 17 games was you've only turned the ball over 15 times through 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
And the next closest guy that has played even as many minutes as you was Trey with 25, which is incredible.
Wow.
You have one of the lowest turnover rates in like the whole Gulf South Conference.
That's good. But we turn over the ball over a lot, so
yeah.
So I definitely don't want to add to those. Coach is already on us about that.
Yeah. The next player on the list was Casey Goodwin, and he got Drew Holiday.
I could see that. I could see that. Both small, quick, pesky guys. But no, that's a legitimate one. I agree with that.
Okay. And then next was Bennett Fuzak. He got Ryan Anderson.
Agree.
Yeah.
They both love the 3 ball. Both big men that step out and shoot the 3. So, I agree.
Yeah. This next one is probably one of the stranger ones. It's Alex Kiel. And he got DeAndre Liggins.
Oh, wow. He's actually been starting lately, though.
Yeah.
For the Cavs. Because JR's been hurt, and they love Shumpert off the bench.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Alex is our point guard, so is one of our point guards.
Yeah.
And DeAndre doesn't really handle the ball at all.
Yeah, he barely shoots the ball.
Yeah, he barely even shoots it, so.
I remember when he played for Kentucky, someone was like, he's shooting 60% from 3 this season. And it was like he averaged like 1 3 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Alex had a good game for us, so against West Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. He got a lot more minutes than he had been getting.
Yeah.
He
was part of that group that kind of got us back in it, and the coach stuck with him, so.
Yeah.
He played well.
Yeah, that was good. Our next guy was Braden Burnside. He got Sam Decker.
I agree with that one. Lanky, white dudes, shoot the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree with that one.
And then last, I didn't put Stu or John on here just because they don't have enough minutes.
Understandable.
It's hard to get advanced metrics from guys who play,
right?
You know, 2 or 3 minutes. But Felipe got Aaron Baines.
Aaron Baines.
Felipe's was tricky just because he doesn't shoot very much.
Right.
Yeah, he goes in the game and he's gonna screen and try to defend.
Yeah, no, he Felipe will step out and shoot the 3 though.
Yeah.
I don't think Aaron Baines is.
No, he can't do that. And Aaron Baines is a little bit more of a rim protector.
Yeah. But to a degree, I agree with that one.
Yeah, yeah. For those of you listening, I had a little bit of this list done earlier this season, and I told Nick about it, and he laughed at me a whole bunch. And so I knew I had to go back and redo it all because I was super embarrassed about the fact that, you know, an actual basketball player laughed at my list. last year I talked to very few of the Union players, and so I was able to make the list and not worry about any of it. I think I compared a dude to Gordon Hayward, and he was upset, but yeah. I never had to talk to him about it. So it was
that was MT. That was MT.
Yeah, I could see him. I understand. I would have been mad. I would have been mad too.
I know you love your Jazz.
Oh, dude, I know. Speaking of, who's your favorite NBA team?
I'm a Thunder guy.
Okay.
I used to be a big LeBron fan before he went to Miami. And after he went to Miami, I kind of was just like, screw this guy. And so, kind of, per se, jumped on the bandwagon of the Thunder. But I've been loyal to him ever since. Durant left. That was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, if he's going to leave, please don't go to the Warriors. But he did. So that one stung. But I still love Westbrook. Still love the game that he has. So I'm sticking with him.
Yeah. I remember when Durant left, I was in North Carolina working a job making videos for like a summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with my assistant who was from Oklahoma.
Oh, geez.
And he was not to have his phone for the month. And so I'm sitting there just updating my Twitter feed, just constantly pulling down on it, trying to get it to update to see what's happening.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I see Kevin Durant goes to the Warriors. And I just looked at him and I just said, dude. And he was like, he's staying? And he was so excited. And I was just like, no, he's not staying. I thought he was about to cry. I felt so bad. I like had to hug him, and I told him he could take like the next 2 hours of the day off, and it was.
No, it was heartbreaking. It was definitely heartbreaking.
Yeah, I'm a big Jazz guy, and so my heart breaks in different ways, like just not making the playoffs plenty of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just getting injured all the time, but I think this year is as close as it's gonna get to being the Jazz's year. The Cavs and Warriors are going to be in the finals, most likely.
Yeah.
But for the Jazz, it's just, this is the last year they probably have where they'll all be together. Because everyone's about to be up for new contracts.
Gordon Hayward might go.
Oh, I know. I hope he stays. I do too.
Like Westbrook did and re-signs and just becomes the man and the face of the franchise.
Yeah, he's not Westbrook, though.
Yeah, but he's improved every year, though.
Yeah.
And this year, you can really tell that he's been putting in a lot of work, and he's having a really good season.
Yeah. My dream is for Brad Stevens to get traded from the Celtics to the Jazz.
Kind of like Doc Rivers got traded.
Yeah. That way, it can just be Brad Stevens coaching Gordon Hayward and Shelvin Mack, his two Butler boys that are in the NBA now.
Right, yeah.
That's my dream. It'll never happen. And so the closest thing to that will probably honestly be Gordon going to Boston. And Jay Crowder being really angry about it. it's ridiculous. But that's, you know, it's the price you pay being a small market team. You know, the Thunder or the Jazz.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. How many?
Well, KD did go to another small market team, though.
He went to, I mean, but it was.
I mean, they're big now because they've been winning and had a lot of success. But in the grand scheme of things, they're not a L.A. Lakers or Boston or New York. So.
But the city is bigger. Like, San Francisco is just, it's just bigger. Like, my thing with, I just couldn't imagine being a 7 foot tall guy. And living in a small city, like everyone would know you no matter what, and people probably would recognize. I mean, people are gonna recognize.
Yeah,
you know, Kevin Durant in San Francisco too.
Recognize him in China.
But I guess my thing is, San Francisco is sometimes just a really weird city that, I don't know. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I hated it. I hated that he left.
Yeah, but, no, I did too.
Yeah. It's the price of being a small market team, though. It's harder to keep stars.
That is true.
But real fast, based on the first half of the NBA season, what's your prediction for the finals?
Definitely going with Cleveland and Golden State.
Okay.
A trilogy.
Yeah.
On who's going to win it, though, if I was a betting man, I'd probably put my money on Golden State.
In how many games?
In six.
In six games. Golden State in six.
Golden State in six.
Man. Part of this is just the way I want it to go. I also think it'll be Cleveland and Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I really want to say Cleveland in seven. Just because that's what I want. Just because last year was so magical.
Right, yeah.
But, and I think it's... The Warriors obviously got a lot better by adding, you know... Yeah. They now have two of the best three players in the league on their team.
Right.
And now they don't have to worry about playing a really, you know, a really strong team in the Western Conference. Because they don't have to worry about beating the Thunder down.
No. They'll take care of my Thunder, sadly.
But, I mean, Kyle Korver goes to the Cavs. J.R. Smith will get healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah, no, Kyle Korver going to the Cavs was definitely a game changer. I don't know if that would be enough. But, I mean, if you think about it, it'll match up perfectly. Like, Curry will probably have Shumpert or Kyrie on him. Klay will be matched up with someone. LeBron will be matched up with Durant. Draymond will be matched up with K-Love or Tristan Thompson. So, I think it could match out, but I just feel like Golden State has too much star power.
Yeah, yeah. Last question before we go. Mm. How did you feel about Zaza Pachulia's hit on Russell Westbrook and then the stare down?
Honestly, I was thinking about flying to Golden State when I was watching that game and taking them on myself. But Zaza, he's always been known as a dirty guy, and I wasn't shocked he did that. But Westbrook didn't even know that he had stared him down till after in the post game conference. And said he was going to take care of it, and I believe that he's going to take care of it.
Do you think if he had seen that in the moment that he would have fought right there?
Yeah, no. Westbrook's not taking that from nobody.
Especially not Zaza.
Especially not the Georgia All-Star.
Yeah, every time I see that guy, I'm amazed he's in the NBA.
And you just think he's an All-Star.
He's the only guy that I've ever seen that's that tall that his arms look short still.
Right, yeah.
Like, when he's on the court, his arms still look... Like, I think my arms are longer than his, and I'm 5'11". I know they're not, but...
Yeah. It's just... looking at him, just an eye test.
He just looks... He looks ridiculous out there, especially playing with the Warriors.
Right, and right. And so he'll start... It's Curry, Thompson, Durant, Draymond, and then Zaza.
Yeah.
It's, that's his starting five.
It's the most ridiculous starting five when you think about him just being in there.
Right.
Yeah,
but I mean, he does all he needs to do for that team. I mean, it's not like he really has to score.
He's kind of like Kendrick Perkins, back in the day.
Yeah, no.
Even with the
Celtics or the Thunder.
Yeah, or even the Cavs when he played with the Cavs for that season. I just remember when he came in for the Cavs and just fouled people. He was only brought on the Cavs to be a goon. Man, yeah.
No.
Felipe had a moment like that.
I was
to ask you about this.
That was, I think it was Lee.
It was
Lee or Shorter?
It was Shorter. Because I was in the stands for that game. And he just came out there and just fouled that guy. Was that a planned thing, or did he do it on accident?
I mean, I don't know how many Gulsoff GSE teams are listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We told him to give him a little nudge.
It was incredible. He hit the guy. Not hard. He didn't hit him like it wasn't a dirty play.
No.
He hit him with a really hard screen though, or something. It was weird.
Yeah.
And next thing I knew was the guy was on the ground and Felipe was standing like over him, looking down at him for a second. And in that moment Felipe suddenly became scary. And Felipe has never been scary to me. And I was just like, oh man, I gotta be more careful when I'm around this guy.
Yeah, no, he might check you for no reason.
Yeah,
man.
It was. I don't know. I thought it was great. I know other people probably think that's a bad thing, but
yeah, no, I mean, it was. It was a little thing to get their worst foul shooter on the line.
Yeah.
Without one of the starters or people that play get an unnecessary foul, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we actually did that in the West Alabama game, too. But it backfired, and they called it intentional.
Oh.
So.
Did you guys bring Felipe out for that, too? Or was that
No,
some...
that was Charlie.
That's right.
And that's probably why it didn't work as well, because Felipe's a little more discreet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that, because I wondered... My broadcast, like, shut down. I was watching the game, and it suddenly shut down.
Yeah, no.
And so I was just on the live stats on my phone.
A couple of people told me about that.
Yeah, and so I was just seeing, and all of a sudden I saw Charlie Wilson get a technical foul, and I was like, that doesn't even make sense. He would never do something like
yeah.
That would warrant that, but that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I kind of hope to see, from a fan's perspective, I hope to see a little bit more Big Bet Felipe this season, just like at times like that where it's needed. Just
that's his new nickname. What was his comparison again?
He was Aaron Baines, which makes sense if you think about
Aaron
that.
Aaron Baines, perfect.
But yeah.
Aaron Baines would do something like that.
Oh, he definitely does. I think he does that every game.
Yeah.
I think he comes out there just to hit people sometimes.
He's Australian. Rugby's in his blood.
Dude,
so.
Yeah. But yeah, Nick, thanks for being on here.
No, thank you for having me for the first ever episode.
Yeah, yeah. You can catch... Nick and the rest of the team, they've got a road trip this Thursday and Saturday, I think, again.
Yeah, we go to Lee first on Thursday, and then we play Shorter on Saturday. But the week after that, we'll be back.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for being here, and we hope you listen to our next episode.